Here we are, Saints Players Show, live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. I'm Christian Garrick, Saints Players guest this week. Wide receiver Austin Carr. Can't wait to talk to Austin Carr for the next hour. Nice round of applause. And Austin, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here. What's up, everybody?
And this fan base, as you know, will follow you guys anywhere and everywhere you guys go. It's special.
This is awesome. Nowhere like New Orleans. We definitely love it here. Here with my wife, Erica. She's sitting right over here.
Nice.
So, we love it here.
You getting some wings?
I literally looked at the six-piece. Whoever's going to take the order, I'm getting the six-piece.
He's ordering live on the radio right now.
Yeah. Looking at Daytona Beach. Maybe Chipotle honey. Six-piece Chipotle honey. Why not?
Austin, looking forward to talking to you. Look, before we get into your journey, I learned someone told me something that was a little inaccurate, but you cleared it up before we went on the air.
Yeah.
So you donated red – let me make sure I get this right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it red?
Red blood stem cells.
Red blood stem cells.
Yes.
Your junior year in college.
Yes. So my redshirt junior year in college, I was matched with a patient who had bone cancer, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, anonymous person, but we matched on the Be the Match registry. It was something that I had entered my freshman year. You know, they came onto campus at Northwestern and we're doing this kind of drive to try to get more people onto the registry to help people in need. And, I joined not thinking twice. Just,
sure.
Maybe I'll be able to help someone. Maybe someone in my family one day. Who knows? And lo and behold, 2-3 years later, I end up matching with someone in need.
What made you decide to do that? Just because, hey, look, it's kind of one of those paid-forward deals?
Yeah, well, I'm a Christian, so Jesus says, treat your neighbor as yourself, you know, kind of the golden rule, as you have others treat you, treat others, and, I try to take that to heart. I'm not perfect with it, but to imagine myself, maybe even one day a kid, you know, my child in need, I would definitely want someone to match, who matches to maybe take time out of their life to give me or someone I love a chance at life, and so having that opportunity was great.
That's an awesome story. And I think sometimes we don't do enough of that in this country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's inspiring. Austin Carr, Saints wide receiver here on the Players Show from 6 to 7 at Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Austin, let's start with your journey. When did you start playing football? What age?
Started playing at probably 6 years old.
Okay.
Way back. So I'm from Northern California, and my dad loved football, loves football. And that rubbed off on me for sure. I mean, I grew up watching Dante Culpepper. That was my favorite team, the Vikings.
Oh, okay.
For some reason I chose
Didn't
Moss.
He have
a- yeah, yeah, he had that that celebration. And just grew up playing football, watching football. And the love that my dad had for it was infectious.
So you started playing when you were six, played in Little League. I would imagine, as most Little Leaguers that have some athleticism, they typically play all kinds of different positions, running back,
both sides of the ball, middle linebacker, running back, quarterback, all of it.
Doesn't surprise you. At what point did you think you were going to maybe be something other than a receiver? Did you want to play quarterback? Did you want to play running back?
Oh, yeah. So I played mostly running back in high school and then some slot receiver. And I walked on at Northwestern. Walking on there, it was sort of a toss-up. Okay, we didn't recruit this guy for a particular position. Where do we want him? They wanted me at wide receiver. I told them no. I wasn't confident as a receiver. I wanted to play safety, or running back. And they said, you know, we have some needs in the receiver room. We'll just try you out there, and the rest is history.
So how'd you go from Northern California to all the way to Northwestern?
Yeah. I applied on a whim, honestly. So I wasn't a huge big-time recruit. I didn't have any D1 offers. I had some walk-on offers, but I applied to Northwestern. I knew it was a great school academically. I wanted to see another part of the country, and so once I got in, it was just kind of dominoes falling in place for me.
So you were a walk-on, also undrafted into the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of message does that send, do you think, to kids? Your story, you think about that. Walk-on. Now in the NFL, undrafted, but still, and it's hard to do as an undrafted player to make an NFL roster. You
right.
did that. What do you think that sends kids, tells kids?
I mean, it tells kids if you work hard. I look at my story. It was hard work. It was also some intangibles. Being a team player when it's convenient and inconvenient for me. Being a sponge in the game, learning everything you can. from everybody, humbling yourself. If you do all those things, it gives you a chance, right? I'm not saying that that's the equation to be a professional player in the NFL, but it gave me a chance, and I grasped the opportunity.
If I venture to guess that your GPA at Northwestern seemed like an extremely bright guy, I would say it's in a 3.6 or above.
I think it's just under a 3.5.
Really?
Yeah, 3.5. Okay. I think I'd have to check my transcripts. I hope you didn't.
No, I did not. I'm just guessing. Sean Payton had said something about you one day. I might be wrong about this, but he described you as, after football, you might be the president.
I don't know where that comes from.
You're not presidential?
No, I don't know. I could be.
You
never know. I haven't set my sights on going into politics, but I do have plans this offseason to maybe have some interesting externships with potentially out on Capitol Hill. We'll see what the future holds.
Ah, pretty neat. Keep us posted on that.
Okay.
Austin Carr, Saints wide receiver here on the Player Show. We'll step away and come back more with number 80 next here on WWL. Back here at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Hanging out with wide receiver of the Black and Gold, Austin Carr. Be here until 7 o'clock. Coming out, take a picture with number 80. Also, he'll sign some autographs as well. Austin, what was it like? You just signed an autograph that was your first TD.
Yeah.
A couple weeks back.
Pretty blessing, neat. Man. Oh, that was incredible. Yeah.
So, are you like Billy Joel where you can play the piano?
You could say I could be like him one day. I'm not that good.
Not that good. Explain this to me. So when did you decide to pick up the piano?
So it was back in sixth grade. You hear songs on the radio. Oh, that sounds cool. And I had a piano. My mom played. She was classically trained.
Oh, wow.
And so we had this 1920s, baby grand, ivory keys and everything, kind of out of tune. But my great-grandmother had it. Long story short, it's in our home, and I'm hearing songs on the radio. I want to try to play those things. And so my mom, she would teach me little drills sometimes, and, she didn't play anymore. But I looked up some videos on YouTube. Oh, man, maybe I could try to play this. It was like I think it was like a Justin Timberlake song, What Goes Around. Yeah,
okay.
That was one of the first songs I learned to play on piano. And it kind of stuck. I mean, once you learn, it was like ecstasy. Oh, my gosh, I can play this song now. And we can all sing. And my whole family, enjoys it. So it took off from there.
So you taught yourself how to play piano. Is that right?
More or less, yeah.
That's mind-boggling to me.
I mean, you can do it, too. You got to put in the hours.
I would imagine. I've always wanted to play guitar, right?
Okay.
Electric guitar.
Okay.
And I've talked about, I've been putting it off, but I've wanted to take lessons for the better part of a year or two. I'm a huge Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, Mike McCready.
Okay.
Mike McCready, as you know, can jam on the guitar. So I was like, I'll never be Mike McCready, but if I could just learn how to play a little bit anyway. That's fascinating.
Listen, you could do it. What's holding you back, though? It's really just the time.
Yeah, time. But, another great resource you brought up, it is YouTube. These days, if you want to do something, go to YouTube.
Yes.
It'll lay it all out for you. It's amazing. It's a great tool.
Yes.
All right, getting back to football. When you started playing football at an early age, at what point did you think in college that you had a shot to play professional football?
Probably halfway through my senior year, honestly. So, my college career slowly building, very slowly, and it wasn't until my senior year when things really started to pick up, and I had a few good games, and they were against good opponents that I started to realize, then some agents starting to reach out. Okay, maybe I have a shot.
So, after Northwestern, draft unfolds. You go undrafted, get scooped up by the New England Patriots, and ultimately, after training camp, right, you were let go by them, and then the Saints scooped you up, right?
Yes.
And then, can you talk about your time and the similarities? I'm curious to see the similarities you would say about the Patriots and the Saints in terms of how generally they are run as an organization.
Yeah. I would say, it was awesome to be in New England to learn, even from Tom Brady and Edelman and those guys. I would say coming to the Saints, you see how the front office is the strength of the organization. There's no one guy necessarily that, and I'm talking about players, one guy that it all rides on him. And obviously the quarterback matters a lot, but when you have a front office that is not only unified but that's smart, that knows what pieces to put together and when, and contract negotiations and everything that goes into getting the right 53, you know, you see the same thing in New Orleans as you do in New England.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Drew?
Oh, man. I would say Drew definitely inspires me in my work ethic. Seeing what kind of hours he's in the facility and what kind of hard work he's putting in, that's something that I take pride in my work ethic. It's something that's always kind of been a part of
sure.
my identity as a player. But Drew takes it to another level that inspires me.
Yeah, a lot of players that I've talked to over the years, they all come in their first year in the league and in the Saints organization. And before they get there, they think, man, I've got a routine, and I have a really hard, strenuous mm-hmm. routine that, and I work hard. And then they see Drew, and they're like, ooh, I need to go back to the drawing
yeah.
board.
Yeah. he pushes you. I mean, when you see him in there at 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m., and then staying after everybody else is leaving and watching film and studying the playbook. I remember, one Saturday, I think it was, before the game, coming back to the facilities and seeing him. We had practice and everything, and so we were, we don't need to be at the hotel until the evening, and he's still in there studying. And when you see that, it's like, man, when it comes time to play and he's in the huddle and directing everything, it's, you got his trust.
He's no, he's a creature of habit, and he has no issues with, after practice, making the receivers, running backs, run the routes. And is it almost like, as a player, you're going, man, I just went through training camp practice. I'm dying here. But yet yeah. you almost feel an obligation because it's Drew Brees?
I mean, Drew wants to win. We all want to win. And so it doesn't – for me, and again, it's kind of – maybe it's just the way I'm built, but, like, I want that edge. If the quarterback feels that some extra routes is going to give us the edge to beat the Panthers this week, I'm going to go do it. And this season, I think you can tell – we have had the edge on most teams.
Speaking of the Carolina Panthers on Monday night, last year you guys played them three times.
Yeah.
Beat them all three times. I would imagine, though, you would expect at 6-7, they've lost five in a row, Austin, that mm-hmm. they're kind of a wounded animal. They're going to come out there swinging. You're going to get their best shot because their playoff hopes are fading quickly. And if they happen to get a win on Monday night, that would rejuvenate that. But I would imagine you expect a very fired-up Panthers team.
We are expecting a fired-up team. We're expecting them. It's not just a must-win, but it's a rivalry game. And we know that they're going to be coming for our throats, and so we have to be ready to punch back.
When you look at their secondary, what stands out about the Panthers' secondary?
You got speed and you've got experience, I think. You've got guys who are who've had time in the league. And you've got a young rookie, I think, 26, who's definitely fast. I mean, you can see some good recovery speed with him, and the defense does a good job of punching the ball out too. And you saw, I think Keekly had two forced fumbles the last week alone. It's the kind of game that is about the details as much as it is going the distance.
Monday night in prime time, the Saints typically kind of thrive under the lights. Is there an extra juice for you guys whenever you get on the national stage?
Yeah, I think there is, honestly. Especially at home, but to go away with this is it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a good test for us, for sure.
You guys have been really good on the road this year. What are some components that you have to kind of check off the boxes that, all right, to be a good road team, what do you think they are? What do you think those things have to have on your team?
Yeah, I would say road teams have to, offensively, sustain drives, which comes to third down. We have to be able to sustain long drives, tire the defense out, and get the ball in Drew's hands as much as we can, and get separations as receivers and continue, a rhythm. Defensively, it's flopped the same way. We got to stop them on third down. We have to keep, time of possession is big. Running game, getting the running game going, getting Mark and Alvin, in a rhythm as well. And then, it's kind of a beating a dead horse, but no turnovers. Winning the turnover battle, I mean, you hear coaches talk about that. But then you look at some of our games that we didn't do as well this year, and you look at turnovers that really hurt us.
Yeah, it's usually the one thing, and that and hidden yardage in the NFL will get you beat
yep.
More often than not. Hanging out with wide receiver of the New Orleans Saints, Austin Carr. the pride of Northwestern. About to sign some autographs. We're going to head it to CBS News headlines and also our local news headlines. 30 minutes to go here on the Player Show. If you're out driving around, I'm going to come meet number 80 for the Saints, get something signed by Austin Carr, take a picture with him. He's here until 7 o'clock tonight, live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie on WWLAMFM.com. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk here live at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Zach Strief, Austin.
Yes.
We're hanging out with Austin Carr. Zach Strief, Northwestern grad. How much do you guys chat?
Every time I see Zach, I approach him and we talk Northwestern football. So literally whenever he's on the field, if ever he's around, we talk the latest Northwestern, the new facilities, the bowl game this year, the Big Ten championship, everything. Yeah.
Look, he's doing a great job in his first year as a play-by-play voice of the Saints. And
is he?
Yeah.
I haven't been listening.
Okay. We can make that happen. We can pull up a couple of highlights, particular ones that involve you.
Okay.
But we were teasing him during the preseason whenever you made a play in the preseason. His energy level increased just a little bit, and Deuce called him out a little bit, like, hey, you're getting happy for your Northwestern guy, but he's very, very proud of that university, as are you,
yeah.
And his time there. What was your favorite memory about Northwestern?
At Northwestern?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Beating Notre Dame, that was pretty special. It was a lot of fun to beat Notre Dame. To win in my last game as a Northwestern Wildcat against the Pitt Panthers?
Yeah,
against Pitt. That was pretty special at the Pinstripe Bowl, especially because we were 6-6, big underdogs, and they and found a way to get it done. That's fun.
So I want to go back to, you said you weren't heavily recruited. You had some offers to walk on at other universities. Mm-hmm. Where were those offers?
So UC Davis, Sac State. I was considering walking at San Diego State. And then you had some D2s. I think a D3, I think the Coast Guard Academy, was open to me going out there. So it was, nothing crazy exciting. And all, obviously the other places that I was getting in also, TCU, was potential, but Northwestern was just, it was the obvious choice after I visited.
Did you consider any of the service academies? I'm just curious.
I did, yeah.
Did you?
The Coast Guard in particular. So my uncle was in the Coast Guard. He retired a captain, I think, in 08, 09.
Wow.
And he was actually the one who influenced me. Hey, you should get on their radar. That's a great academy, great place to, get your life started.
Sure.
And it really could have happened, but, decided to go a different route.
Things worked out for you going to Northwestern, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So you've been in New Orleans going on 2 years now. Had you come here to New Orleans before signing with the Saints?
I had never been – I don't even think to the South, other than Florida. So, no, I'd never been to New Orleans.
What's the thing you love the most about this city?
What do I love most about the city? Generic answer, the beignets and the weather, okay?
Sure.
I'm a Café du Monde guy. I don't know what side everyone here falls on, but...
It's okay.
Are you morning call?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
If it's convenient for me to get to, that's where I'm going.
You're
going to
go?
Yeah.
Okay. And the weather, obviously, coming from Chicago, I mean, it's in the 60s in December.
Sure.
That's amazing. But the culture, man, the different parts of town you can go, the music.
I figured you would love that.
Piano, yeah. Station Hall, I'll shout them out for sure. It's so much fun. My wife and I have been almost a half dozen times, and every time it is just stellar, knocks you out. So, the rich culture in music and food everywhere you go around here, it's awesome.
Doesn't the city have a way of just, once you're here, it grabs a hold of you?
It does.
It gets into your soul pretty quickly.
It does. It does. And when we first got here, it was a culture shock, that's for sure. We were in Chicago, and then we were in Foxborough, Boston area.
Sure, yeah.
And those...
I've been up there.
They're different, but they're big cities, fast-paced. And we get down here, and it's a bit different. And I hadn't seen a cockroach in a long time until I got down here. I hadn't seen palm trees in a long time until I got down here. But it really, just over time grew on us.
Have you met the mosquitoes down here?
I have. So you might remember when we went down on the bayou, the whole team bow fishing.
Yeah.
Tons of fun. But we were all in long sleeves because there were some bugs I have no category for. I mean, you're just – I've never seen creatures like this flying around that trying to suck my blood.
Look, the mosquitoes down here will carry you away.
Yes.
I mean, they will literally pick you up and carry
you
away.
If the alligator guard didn't, the mosquito will.
How'd you fare on the bow hunting trip?
I fared pretty well. I shot one.
Did you?
I got one. Okay. Yeah. I wounded another. And I don't think I ever want to fish another way. I was on the team that won, by the way.
Okay.
Me, Chris
Banjo. You
wanted
to point that out.
Yeah, I was just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
Think
these guys aren't competitive? Or
yeah.
What?
You think I'm a bad fisherman. I'm average, but we were a team. We did pretty well. Mike, linebacker's coach, Mike Nolan?
Yeah, Mike Nolan.
Very good at bow fishing.
Really?
And it was his first time. Yes. Really? He caught maybe six, I think.
That's impressive. So you haven't done the conventional fishing down here redfish or anything like that?
So, and I'm definitely open to it.
You should.
I'm just going to say, bow fishing is so exciting.
I could get that.
I've done regular fishing before. Do you like fishing?
I love fishing.
Okay. Yeah, have you ever been bow fishing?
I've never been bow fishing. I want to try it.
Oh, man. It's
but I'm telling you, get somebody to take you down and go chase some bull redfish.
Okay.
And you hook on to one of those things.
Okay.
You'll enjoy that.
It's just all I need is the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're probably going to get plenty now.
Okay.
Austin Carr, Saints wide receiver here at Hooters on Vets and Metairie. We'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. As your former teammate, you're also your Northwestern Wildcat buddy, Zach Streif, on the call. What'd you think of that, man? That's pretty neat.
Hey, that is pretty cool. Cats supporting cats, honestly. That is it's awesome to see him continue in the New Orleans Saints community, too.
Yeah, he's been a big part of this city since he arrived out of Northwestern in 2006 as his seventh-round draft pick, now the voice of the Saints, Zach Streif. Speaking of cats, dog or cats in terms of ownership, pets?
Ownership dogs, because I grew up with a golden retriever.
Did you?
Chester was his name.
Chester, okay.
He's passed on, but I love dogs.
Okay.
Yes. However, you know, my wife and I have decided not to get one yet. You know, it's I'm learning how to persuade your spouse. You know?
How long have y'all been married?
And it's what's that?
How long have y'all been married?
We've been married just over a year.
Okay.
So about a year and a few months.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Retrievers and of any kind, high energy. So if you're not home a lot, you're gonna be in some trouble.
Exactly. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So genres of music, favorite genres.
Oof. So I grew up listening to all of it. My dad's a drummer. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So
thus explains the piano.
Yes. He was in an all-black heavy metal band
in
L.A.
Really?
In the 90s. Yeah. And they opened up for Ice-T, but my dad, I mean, I grew up listening to everything from rap, Naughty by Nature, to Motley Crue. One of my first concerts was a Rush concert, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've got love for a lot of genres, but being the songwriter and singer I am, and if I were to model my music after anyone, it would be John Legend, kind of R&B, soul, pa, somewhere in that mix, is what I enjoy to play, at least.
You have any songs that are published that you've written?
Not published.
No?
Not that I know
any
of.
Any plans on doing that?
Someday, I tell you. Absolutely.
You have a lot of aspirations, man.
Yeah.
You have a lot of aspirations. So if I went, if I were able to, all you guys wearing headsets these days, getting ready for games, right?
Yep.
So if I were to take your headphones and take a listen, what would be the song that you're listening to, or the songs you're listening to as you're going through your pregame routine?
Yeah. There would be, it's more up tempo generally. There's a New Orleans rapper named D1. Love his stuff. Hip hop, Christian hip hop, kind of a little bit. Jordan Armstrong. Those are the two. Jordan Armstrong's actually from Baton Rouge. He's also a rapper, hip hop artist that I listen to. But it's a mix. You know, you'll have some everything from that hip hop to worship music, right? Hillsong. You know, it'll be a mix.
Are you a superstitious player? Are you one of these guys that right sock on before the left? Doesn't matter.
You get this question all the time. Not at all. No, I'm not superstitious. I don't have those kind of routines. Other guys, have them, but not me.
Who's the funniest guy in the Who's the funniest guy in the wide receiver room?
In the wide receiver room? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Right now, probably Shane Wynn. He's on the practice squad. He's a
got
funny
the
guy.
Same answer last week from Keith. From Keith Kirk.
Yeah. Shane's a funny guy.
Yeah. Offensively, who's the funny guy? Who's the comedian? If y'all are in an offensive team meeting.
Yeah. Funniest guy is definitely Mark Ingram. I sit next to him, actually, in team meetings, and he is he is hilarious.
Yeah.
He's got characters, voices, just funny wit. It's really funny.
Sean Payton ever crack a joke in a team meeting?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Does it catch you off guard?
Yeah, it will. Because, it's mostly business.
Yeah, he's so dialed in all the time.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic storyteller.
Yes.
I've heard him tell stories.
Yeah.
He's fantastic at it.
Yeah.
All right, hanging out with Austin Carr. Going to wrap it up next here at Hooters on Vets in Metairie here on Saints Radio WWL. Another call from Zach Street.
Go Cats!
You like how he emphasizes Cats?
I
go
love
Cats!
It. I love it.
Was that your first one? Was that last highlight? Was that your first career one, or was the one before?
I think that last one was.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. Hey, Christian, I officially now volunteer to take Austin red fishing anytime he wants. Give him my number. I told you this was going to happen. Another one. Wow. I'm in the Coast Guard, and I'll take Austin on a bull red fishing trip. He'll never forget. Mm. Let me know. So you'll have your choice.
If that person's in the Coast Guard, I wonder where they're stationed, because one of my good friends that I've made here actually is in the Coast Guard. Josh Wolford.
Okay.
So if they're listening right now and they know Josh, contact Josh. Josh will get in touch with me and we'll all go on a fishing trip. It'll
there
be
you
perfect.
Go. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
You will. I'm telling you, you will. You'll be addicted. You like bull fishing. I'm sure it's great, but you will be addicted. There's nothing like catching a bull redfish on a conventional rod and reel. I mean, nice. you have to have a certain pound test, et cetera, but the conventional way of fishing, it's pretty special. Oh, by the way,
awesome.
Trout fishing, you got to go do that as well.
Okay.
So your final thoughts going into Monday, man, Saints and Panthers. And first off, how's the week gone preparation-wise?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, today was more like a Wednesday, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we had more like a Wednesday practice today. And we're still, putting the game plan together. The coaches right now are putting the game plan together, but, it's, like I said, it's going to be a dogfight. It's a rivalry game, and it's about the details and it's about going the distance. You can't have three quarters or three and a half quarters, because all of the weaknesses are going to try to be exposed. And so, just having a complete game is what it's going to come down to. And, obviously playing at Carolina, their fans are going to be really in it. They're going to be loud, and so we're playing, crowd noise during offensive series, and that gets us kind of mentally prepared.
Walk us through a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, like what that means. The initial install, and I think on Thursday, are you guys working on third down, and then Friday I think it's 2 minute. How does that work?
Yeah, so typically Wednesday is first and second down, and then Thursday is third down. And then Friday will be your red zone, short yardage, but then a mix of everything. And then Saturday you'll have another walkthrough, everything. That's pretty
Is it difficult in terms of week to week, the amount of plays that could be in or could be up or called compared to the prior week? How much does it vary?
I would say amount is about the same. You got a lot of plays. If I showed you our play sheet, you'd be, whoa, you can barely even see the calls. It's different personnel groups, different formations every week. Yeah.
And can that be a little overwhelming if you're a first year player in particular?
Yeah, it definitely can. It's the kind of thing that, you need to be able to handle it, but at the same time, you don't have, finals week, right? So right now it's like finals week at Tulane.
Right.
I don't have to write any papers. They're not due, right? So that kind of helps me.
Yeah, I would imagine it's pretty daunting to decipher, in particular, this offense that has some nuances to it and some intricacies to it. How much does Drew help you if you go to him and say, I'm having a hard time with this particular play, mm-hmm. does he help you simplify it?
I think he being on the same page with him is key. And it's if you're not on the same page, it's obvious. And hopefully most of the time that comes out in practice. And so after maybe something went wrong or wasn't as expected, you'll meet together later in the day in the meetings after practice and talk it through, and then on the field even talk it through.
Austin, it was a pleasure having you on the Players Show, man, and We'll get you back perhaps next season, and good luck on Monday, man.
Absolutely.
Thanks a bunch. All right.
Appreciate
it. Number 80 for the New Orleans Saints, wide receiver Austin Carr. If you missed part of it, want to hear it again, check it out online at WWL.com. Fantasy Frenzy with Kevin Payne next hour, and your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. This is WWL AM FM.com.